clear. So it was really, really helpful. And there's just times where we think in our life, even just our life and our walk with Christ, we're like, I'm good. You know, I got it. I'm good. I've got a good focus, and I know where things are at. But there's times where we need to be reminded to refocus on truths of Christ. And we begin often in our beginning of our year, in one way or the other, we are refocus. Refocus on things in our personal walks with Christ, focus on things as a church body, and things that we want to be about. We're reminded of different focuses we have. Like last week we talked about we want to worship God passionately, but we talked about that in relation to we want to be those who are focused on Jesus. We want to refocus on Christ. We want to be focused on the gospel, the good news that we have new life in Jesus Christ, that we are forgiven. We have great hope in him. And therefore, we want to be a people who make Jesus non-ignorable to our door, from our doorsteps to the ends of the earth, and want to make joyful, passionate disciples. So last week, we studied that, and we were reminded of our new identity, our new life in Jesus. We're reminded of the things that Christ has done for us, that if we have turned and we've entrusted our life to Christ, just everything is different. That we are rescued, that we are redeemed, that we are forgiven, that we are delivered, that we are reconciled, that we are made right with a holy and true God, that we're justified, that our sins are forgiven, that we're sanctified, that we're slowly made holy and holy and holy, more and more blameless before our God because of Christ, the righteousness of Christ that is on us, that we stand even today forgiven and holy in Christ. So we're reminded of those things. And today, though, we're going to focus on something. That the next step is that we need to abide with Jesus. We're going to see in the passage, it's called a walk in Christ. And we need to be reminded of that as we want to be a people. The little circle here with the tree on it, it reminds us that we are people that want to grow to know God deeply. We want to grow in our walk with him and know him more and more and be rooted in him. So we're going to see those things, be reminded of those things in this passage today. And in Colossians, as he's spoken about Christ, spoken about the gospel, then he begins to talk to these brothers and sisters in Christ about walking in him, to focus on abiding in Christ. And when we understand who Christ is and what he's done, it will impact the way we live. So verse 6, we'll begin, and we see, walk in Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Verse 6 of Colossians 2, verse 6. It says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him. So here Paul writes to the brothers and sisters in the church, and they're those who have received Christ. That means they've entrusted their lives to him. They have new life in Jesus. And he calls these brothers and sisters in Christ then to walk in him. There are those who've entrusted themselves in Jesus, who in verse 3, just a few verses earlier, he talks about how in Christ, in Jesus, all treasures and wisdom and knowledge of God are hidden in him. And he's like, you have received him, so walk in him. And who have they received? And he uses these descriptive words of who Christ, the title of Christ, Christ Jesus. And remember, Christ, I think during the Advent time we talked about this, that it is the title that says, that speaks of him being the anointed one, the set apart one, the Messiah. He is the Savior. He's the long-awaited Savior who came to rescue us, to be the Savior for us, from our sins. So he is Christ, and he is Jesus, and he also is his Lord. He is the sovereign Lord of all creation. Remember last week in chapter 1, Paul spoke about those things, that Jesus is preeminent. He is over all things. He holds all things together. Therefore, we should be a people who submit to him. And it's a good thing, because he is a good Lord and Savior. And we can place our lives in his strong hands and rest in Christ, the preeminent one. So he calls them and he says, you've received Jesus Christ as Lord. So now what? Continue to press on in your faith and walk in Christ. As you've received him, as you've begun continue in that. Hold to the teachings that you have embraced, he calls them to. Don't wander from them, as we see in Colossians, but walk in Christ. So if you, Christian, if you have entrusted your life to Christ, you've received him and you've trusted in him as Savior and Lord, as Christ Jesus, Lord. Now, we're called to step it up. We're called to walk in him. To walk in him. And two phrases there that are super significant. Well, first, just the reality that it's in Christ. It's in him. Where this should be an encouragement to you. It's a good statement. We're not called to do it in our own strength, in our own effort, in our own willpower. But we're called to do it and walk in Christ. Walk in and with Jesus. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, just a few verses over, you can see where Paul says, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So Paul has this cool mission where his call is to go to Jew and Gentile and speak about the reality of these things that were hidden before but now have been revealed and made clear. And it is that Christ is in you and he is the hope of glory. Christ in you. And then Paul, a couple of verses after that, verse 29, I read this last week, but he speaks about his desire and his goal is to present everyone mature in Christ. And he works at it, but it's not in his own strength. He says in verse 29, for this I toil, struggling with all his energy, with all Christ's energy, and with all Christ's power and him powerfully working within me. So we're just reminded as we walk, it's in Christ. It's in his strength that we're able to walk. And as we sung this morning, I hadn't shown my notes to Nathan, but he must have known I would reference Galatians 2:20 a couple times. So Galatians 2:20, and this, if you ask me, what's your life verse? A lot of times if someone asks you, what's your favorite this or favorite that? I'm always like, I don't know. As if maybe you understand, maybe you're like me in that way. And others of you, you're like, I know, totally, and I'll tell you. But I would say maybe Galatians 2:20 is like that verse that I have gone to time and time and time and time again in my life. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. In this life I live in the body, I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. And we're just reminded that our life is hidden with Christ. We've died, we have new life in him. He is our life. So it's not about our own strength, it's not about our own willpower, but it's about Christ. We're called to walk in him. Verse 9, really, I was hoping to cover like chapter or verse 6 through 15 and then a whole bunch in chapter 13, and then I realized that wasn't going to happen. But you can read that later this week. Verse 9, though, Paul talks about that we've been filled in Christ. We've been filled up in him. We've been made complete in him. So we need to remember these things and to remember last week, who is this one that we walk in, that we are made complete in? He's the one who is the creator of all things, holds all things together. He is preeminent. He's creator. Those are good things. Amen? If we're called to walk, may we do it in his strength. And then, again, that we're just walk with him, in him. So we can't just sit there either. We're called to move forward in Christ and walk with him, to take hold of even those disciplines of grace, like being in the Word and being taking time to pray and be still before God. And hopefully this year, kind of jumping in with our desire as a church to be reading through the Bible. And if you haven't gotten one of the Everyday Gospel books, we still have a pile of them there. We still have quite a few copies, so I encourage you to grab those. And we want to walk in him by his grace. And we also walk in him. It's a day-by-day thing. It's a step-by-step as well. It's not initially soar, but it's walk day-by-day in him. And we will stumble. We will fall. We do have difficult seasons, even in our walk, but may we be those who wait upon the Lord and then therefore be able to renew. He renews our strength in Him, as we see in Isaiah 40. So walk. Walk in Him. And then, as we get to verse 7, we see that we are to be rooted, to be built up and established in Jesus, and Jesus alone. So Paul, he further explains what it means to walk in Christ. We walk in Him while being rooted and built up in Him and firmly established in our faith according to the teachings that they have already received, which we have already received in the Word. We root ourselves, build ourselves up in these truths and in Christ Himself. So be rooted in Christ. So our identity is rooted in Jesus, who is everything. May we root our life in Jesus, who is everything. Our life should be rooted in Him, our hope rooted in Him, our faith rooted in Him, our joy rooted in Christ. I think I've mentioned a couple times that during our sabbatical time, there was one of the pictures and one of the things the Lord taught me was that of being rooted in Him. And there's so many things that often I kind of default to root maybe my identity or hope or security in that really make just not very helpful. And I was reading a book during our sabbatical time, and it talked about not having a tumbleweed life. I don't know if you've driven in Wyoming or really out here in the country at all. Sometimes there's just tumbleweeds out, and a tumbleweed must not have very good roots because they get dry and they just roll around. And you might think, like, if one blows across the highway, it kind of might surprise you, and you think, oh, I got to stop, but you're like, no, it's just a tumbleweed. It'll just go poof. And we don't want to have tumbleweed lives. And as I read through this book, I just found myself throughout the book that I was reading just making notes, and I don't often do this, I don't often have time, but just kind of doodling and writing things. And there's this picture that keeps coming back to my mind as I was studying this, that I not because I'm a wonderful artist, but I'm going to show you, just it's helpful for me, maybe it'll give a picture for you. There it is. It's again, not a beautiful picture, but it just, this is one of the things that my mind continues to go back through, my heart the Lord has used in my life. Just kind of, this is the tumbleweed where often we kind of root ourselves trying to in the approval of others, or maybe in our performance, or how tall we are, or how loud we sing, or how well we do math, or how well we perform the jobs that we have, or how well we stand out in a crowd, or whatever it might be. That just gives us a tumbleweed life, because when the trials and difficulties of this life come, if we don't have deep roots, we just will maybe just kind of blow away in the wind. But we're called to root ourselves in. And this was one where little by little through my sabbatical time, I kept adding words to this. And you can't really read them all because I wrote them and they're hard to read. But we have just the grace for God, the Word, life with God. Abide in Christ. Jesus is everything, identity in Him, and so on. May we be a people that are rooted in Christ. And you can take that off there. You can. So, Anthony, you can, there you go. All right, okay. He was listening. He was just getting there. But then what we're called to be built up in Him, to be established in the faith. When I think of being built up in Christ, I think about Christ when He gave the parable in Luke 8 of the man who built his house on the rock and the one who built his house on a sand. And He spoke about what does it mean to build their life on a rock. It's those who hear the words of Jesus and then are doers of His words. And I went back and I was reading through that this week, and I just love the description of the man who built the house. It says, Christ, this is the way that Christ put it. It's like one who dug deep and built their foundation on a rock. And it's like, man, that's what we want to do. We want to be a people who dig deep and build our foundation on Christ. and we build our foundation on the words of Christ. This week, one of the devotionals, as we were reading, and it was on January 9th in Genesis 27 through 29. And in Genesis, we see several times where God speaks, or a bunch of times where God speaks, right? And he makes covenant with his people. He makes promises with his people. He speaks to them and says, and he upholds them because they fall short a ton of time. But he holds them up. And that devotional just spoke about how good God's word is and how he speaks. And I just wanted to, if you've read it this week, you'll kind of resonate with it, maybe be reminded. But the author, Paul Tripp, he says, "Every bit of wisdom I have comes from the words of his book. I found my identity in the words of his book. I was drawn to put my trust in him because of the words of his book. I have meaning and purpose right here, right now, because of the words of his book. I have found peace during times of trial because of the words of his book. I have future because of the words of his book. My life has been rescued, empowered, and defined by the words of his book." Amen. That's rooted. That's built up in Christ when we recognize how we need to dig down and build our life upon the words of our God. So our lives should be rooted. And if they are rooted, then we see the response that we will abound, just as we were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. There'll be just an overflow of thanksgiving as we know our God, as we walk in fellowship with Christ and abide in him, and he abides in us, and we cast our cares upon him, the one who calls us to himself, that he will carry our burdens, that he is gentle and lowly in heart, will break forth in thanksgiving to him. So how do we walk in Jesus? Just some practical things. Well, first, one translation of this verse from the New Living Translation. It's a paraphrase of it, but it's so good, so helpful. It says, "Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thanksgiving." You're just daily walking in the truth that we've been taught in, that we have in God's word, walking daily. So I encourage you to walk daily with our God, to spend time in his word, spend time in prayer. No matter how old or young you are, we need to every day have time with our God. So I encourage you to have a time and a place and make that priority. There's things that we prioritize in our life and we do them. And there's things that we don't prioritize and we don't do them. So may we prioritize this. This is life. And I encourage you, even maybe, I know there have been different times in my life where I've used like an iPad where I did a lot of studying and stuff, and sometimes I'd read using my iPad, but then I found like little notifications would come up, or I'd think about an email, or think about researching this or that. And I'm like, oh, I wonder how much that is. Because it just pops in your head, and you're like, squirrel. And so maybe this year, if that's been your habit, switch it up a bit and just get hard copies of everything. Grab one of those books, and if you need a Bible, we have Bibles as well. And do that. You don't have to do that. Just an encouragement. I found that helpful in my own walk. Use the Everyday Gospel book. I don't know. I know quite a few of you have said that you've been using it, and it's been a real encouragement to you. So that's good. So maybe encourage one another. It's helpful to know that others are walking through it. And I know that sometimes we begin things and then we quit them, but let's begin and continue together. And then just spend time praying. May we pray and be before our God. And verse 8, let's continue forward. You can see why I wasn't able to have any hope of getting through verse 15. Verse 8. "Do not be fooled by empty teaching and philosophy of the world." Don't be fooled. Let me read verse 8. "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." And Paul, in verse 4 of chapter 2, also said, I say this in order that no one might delude you with plausible arguments. So Paul, during this time, he knows that there are people who are coming in and they're bringing plausible arguments or philosophies or other teachings that are drawing them away from the truth of the gospel and away from Christ. And he is confronting those, and he's speaking of these philosophies that are not built on the truth of right thinking and built on the word and built on the gospel and built on truth of Christ Jesus. But instead, they're empty, deceptive teachings that are there. One way of putting it is that they're meaningless things that sound deep. You're like, be careful of those things that seem meaningful, but they're meaningless. They sound deep, but they're not. He's warning them. It's philosophy not rooted in Christ. So we see that this was happening during that day, that there were things being taught that were based on the traditions of men, not on God. Things that were based on elemental spirits and possibly referring to that of demonic origin. I mean, you know, Satan, that he is the father of lies, so that kind of makes a lot of sense. But we know in application of our day, there are so many different things that we could point to, different philosophies and teaching that might draw you away that just aren't true. And might we be even reminded of them? Even within the church, there are things of just ideas of the health and wealth theology. Like, if I follow Christ, then he'll make my life that would make me wealthy, and all disease will be removed from me. But we don't see that in Scripture. Even if you've been walking through the everyday gospel, Paul Tripp's pointed that out, that sometimes we want things just to be comfortable and cushy, but the Lord often uses the difficult to rescue us, really, even rescue us from our own self. And then there's just principles of kind of our culture, be more, do more, achieve more, try harder. It's exhausting, though. Or other things like just your desires in our day, our desires, our culture's desires, your desires and your feelings, their authority, they trump everything. Your personal desire, personal feelings, they trump everything from physical realities, but that doesn't lead to life. In our day and time, the greatest right or good that someone has is your own self-autonomy, and that maybe sounds good, but when you dig in a little bit, you realize that's just empty and shallow. Or things like love is love. Really, the Bible says God is love. Or be your truth. But Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to the Father. So might we be discerning and recognize that those things that are trying to pull us in little ways away from the truth of the gospel. They're not things that are inspired by God. They're not based on Christ. We need to be reminded that our God is a good God who speaks, and we can trust him. We can trust his word. I think of things like Romans 11, 33 through 36, that just says, oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, how inscrutable are his ways. For who has known the mind of God, or who has been his counselor, who has given him a gift that he might be repaid, for from him and through him and to him are all things. Or Romans 40, 28, that says, have you not known, have you not heard? The Lord, Yahweh, he's the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. So we can trust in the word of our God. We're not called to a lesser thing, but to a better, greater thing. We need to search in the right places. In my time of study this week, I found an old little note in my Bible app where I kind of write notes and do different things. And it was from years ago, from my friend Shane Hartsfield, who we served with in China, and he's a pastor now in Tennessee. And this is how he put it. He said, no matter how hard one looks for truth, if one looks in the wrong place, one won't find it. No matter how hard you look for truth, if you look in the wrong place, you're not going to find it. We need to look in the right places. We need to ask ourselves, who are we allowing, or what are we allowing to disciple ourselves? Are we allowing social media scrolling to disciple us? Are we allowing network news stations to disciple us? Are we allowing podcasts that promise to give you the inside scoop on things that no one else knows, but just that podcaster can tell you? Or are you being discipled by sources that really play on your fear and your anger and your anxiety? We should reject those. Or maybe influencers. We have a whole crowd of influencers that really, they're just grasping at straws to find their own joy. We need the Word of God. Maybe I've mentioned how earlier this year there seems to be a huge influx of college students in the different churches that are near the campuses and the campus programs. And you just wonder that maybe students are beginning to realize how empty the influencers of this world are, and they need something solid and true. Well, I encourage you, if I even have in here, read verses 9 through 15. But go back, everyone, read verses 9 through 15. Just see the goodness. But I will read, because this will carry over to verses 1 through 3 in chapter 3. Verses 13 and 14 tie in as we look to our next point. Verse 13 says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, that God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross." So Paul, he talks about our life that we were once dead and said, but made alive. And we have this picture of this baptism picture of being buried and risen to new life in Christ. And our record, our debt, wiped clean, forgiven in him. So that takes us to chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, the last point today. Live as those raised to new life in Christ, who is our life. "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." Again, this imagery of new life being raised, this baptism imagery where we see this idea that once we repent and believe, we have new life in Christ, in his righteousness. We're radically new in him. We've been raised with him. And because we've been raised with him, because of the new life that we have in Christ, it changes everything. It should change the way the things that we seek after. It should change the way that of our goals and our desires, the things that we seek. We are to seek and desire things of God, things above, not just earthly passing things that come and they go, but instead we need to seek the things that are above, where Christ is, be filled with him. And we see Christ, that he is one who is seated. This is a picture of him seated in victory in heaven by the Father. And we're reminded that we have new life in him, and we look to this eternity to be with our Savior King for all eternity in his kingdom, and that should impact the things that we do now. It should impact our goals and our passions, the things that we pursue after. And it should also help us recognize all of the good gifts we do receive now should be things that we give thanks for. And we see that they're a measure of God's grace in our life now, and that our joy in those things don't terminate in those things, but they help us point us to the one who is the creator of all good things. It should cause us to long for eternity when we enjoy a good meal, or if you enjoy sports, a good run, or whatever it is, that they cause us to long for eternity. Now, as we think of seeking the things that are above, does this mean that everyone should quit their job and enter into full-time ministry? Well, no. God calls us to vocational secular work, that in those workplaces and in those things that we might glorify our God. So if we're a worker, that we diligently work so that we might point people to Christ. Or if we're a manager, that we manage with grace and kindness and fairness, that we reflect our Father. Or if we are people who create, maybe you create beautiful paintings, or maybe you just work with your hands and you take things that are are flat and rough, are in pieces, and you put them together and you bring order to those things. That reflects our God, our creator, and we're able to do that. Or as a teacher, you pour into students, or as students, you grow in your learning, and we can bring glory to God in those things. And those things are good. And then verse 2, it says, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. So we're reminded that our thoughts, our meditations, they are impacted. They're changed by our life in Christ. I think of how Jesus taught in Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's helpful to even begin your day in one measure or another in God's word. It might not be you have time at that time to do a lot of reading or a lot of study, but I encourage you to begin. Maybe it's listening to some scripture as you're getting ready for the morning. But begin with God's word. It's such a helpful thing. One thing I've recently found is there's this podcast called Daily Liturgy Podcast. And it's really cool. It'll have Old Testament, New Testament scriptures and different prayers and time of confession. It's about 10 minutes or so. But from time to time, I'll listen to that and just kind of help me, or I'll read it. And it helps me begin some of my time. This, again, Daily Liturgy Podcast. Is that out of a church in, I think, Nebraska? I think Nebraska. I forget. But anyway, you can look online. You'll find it. So does this mean if we set our mind on things above that we can't enjoy a good meal, or we can't enjoy a movie, or dare I say, a Broncos playoff game that's going on right now, or that I can't record it and watch it later and enjoy it? Well, of course I can. Yeah, we can enjoy those things, but would it be best for me to cancel church so that we could all watch that game or have shown it instead of me preaching? Well, no, that would have been horrible. We need to focus that, because it's fun, but it's temporal. We need to be reminded that even as we have joy in things, that they don't, our pleasures don't dead end in those temporal things, but instead they turn our hearts to praise our God. And we may we be reminded that all these things that we do enjoy, that it might be maybe a concert or a athletic event or a good book or a good meal, that these things should not replace our walk with Jesus. And if we recognize that we begin to sin in order to get them, then that's a problem in our life. We need to be reminded that they are things that should ultimately turn our affections toward him and not away from him, and not become idols in our life. I think of 1 John 2:15-17. Do not love the world or the things of the world, because whoever loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, or pride in possessions, it's not from the Father, but it's from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. And then verse 3, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. For when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Isn't that good? We were just reminded we have died with Christ. We've been crucified with Christ. And we no longer live, but Christ lives in us. And we have new life in him. We're hidden in him. We're kept in him. We're safe in him. Our eternity is secure. Our citizenship is that of being one who is a citizen of the kingdom of the beloved Son. Our identity then changes too, that we're sons and daughters of the King. We're sons and daughters of the beloved Son, who is our Savior and our Lord, and we're safe and we're kept in him. And as we think of this, just that last verse, when Christ, I know I didn't put it on the slide, but verse 4 as well, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. We're reminded that we're pointed to eternity. When Christ returns, or we go to be with him, we will be with him forever. He is our life. And this truth of refocusing on abiding and walking in Christ and being in his word, it's not just for us as individuals, our individual growth, which is great, but we also do this together. We encourage one another together and grow and walk in Christ together. We help our kids, Calvary kids, we help them to grow and walk in Christ together. That's a significant thing to help and be part of teaching kids to walk with Jesus, helping one another in our interactions in our small groups. We need times like discipleship groups and community groups so we can encourage one another to walk and be rooted in Him together. So may we refocus. May we be reminded, not just today, not just in January, or like maybe you've seen the Apple Watch commercial that says, this, is it the second, third Friday in January is Quitter's Day or something for all your New Year's resolutions. May we not have already quit, but may we press on together. And maybe this morning you recognize that you just need new life in Jesus. You recognize that your life is maybe more of a tumbleweed life, that your identity is in things, that if things go well one day, then you're good, or they don't go another, then you're kind of in despair. This might be a day just to turn and trust in Christ Jesus, to rest in Him as your Lord and Savior, and find new life in Him. And if you even just want to walk in that today, make sure to tell someone you know who follows Jesus, or come speak with us. Let's pray. Dear Father God, we thank You. We thank You for Your goodness to us, that You are a God who does speak, and not words that are just vain or empty, that seem and sound deep but are really meaningless. But we know that they are full of truth, that You are the God who is the God of all truth, of all knowledge, of all wisdom. Your ways and Your judgments, they're unsearchable, they're inscrutable. Lord, so we thank You for that. Lord, I pray that You would help us to be a people that are reminded to set our minds on things of You, to seek things that are above, that aren't just tumbleweed type lives. Lord, I pray that You'd help us in this coming year to encourage one another to be in the Word. May we even just speak testimonies of little things that we've learned and grown in that might encourage and spur one another on. So I pray for that. Help us in this journey as we want to refocus on You. I pray as well, Lord, if there are any who are seeking and desire new life, help them this morning, that they might turn from their sins and trust in You and find new life, that they might not fight in their own flesh, but just rest in You and find new life. So we pray. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue in our worship, and we continue in our response to Christ, and the need to, at the beginning of our worship, we take that minute to be still, and we end as we're reminded to be also prayerful before the Lord. We bring our hearts, we come with repentant hearts before the Lord, and we observe and we think about the gospel as we take of the Lord's Supper. We think about the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is our life. We think about the One who died for us, and we take the bread that represents His broken body, and we drink the cup that represents His spilt blood for us. And we're reminded that in Him we're forgiven. We have new life. We have eternal life in Him. So this morning, if you know you're a follower of Christ, that you've turned and trusted in Him, you're welcome to take the bread and the cup. Our stations are up here and one in the back. But this morning, if you know you have yet to rest in Him, it's the time to remain seated, or just in way of response, if you need to remain seated, that's fine as well. Also, there's some gluten-free ones in the middle that are the ones that are covered in the little package. Those are gluten-free ones. Let me read 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same way also, He took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Whoever therefore eats of the bread and drinks of the cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Let's pray. pray. Dear Father God, we do want to